Hopefully love lifted you this morning from your bed to come and worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be alive. Amen. Another day above the ground. Amen. God blessed us, and we should be thankful. Not just on November, or whatever Thursday was, 25th, was it 20, what was that? Thanksgiving Day, 23rd. Yeah, but every day ought to be a day of Thanksgiving for us. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. I want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. I really do. I want to baptize you today for the remission of your sins. That if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that the Bible is right, and you'll recognize you're saved outside of the true church, the Church of Christ. And you'll get baptized like I did 32 years ago. And today, amen, I'm still a member of that true church, the only one you'll read about in the Bible. Amen? John chapter 5. Let's continue our study. Last week we had a good study. John chapter 5. This week we'll pick up right there. Last week we looked at the man that Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and made a difference in a man's life. Amen? And a wonderful, wonderful message. And then this week, we're picking up in verse 10 to gather our thoughts back on this. And knowing that it's going to lead us to understand more within the scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction and instruction. So we will be instructed. And I've been telling this lesson, he had committed all judgment unto the Son. He had committed all judgment unto the Son. John chapter 5, let's pick up verse 10, Brother White, and see what we can get from there.
The Jews therefore said unto him that he was cured. It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
Now, since God rested on Sabbath day, was under the old law, they were not supposed to be doing anything. Today, we don't recognize seventh day as the Sabbath day. You should know that. You did a whole lot yesterday on Saturday. And those seven-day Adventists, they ain't figured it out yet. Yeah, you get stoned to death for washing the cars. But anyway, anybody who claims to hold the Sabbath, they're not doing that. No one is doing that today. Not according to the Old Testament, because anything you done on the seventh day or the seventh day of the week, which we know is Saturday, would be death penalty. So even if they claim it, they're not doing it. Let's move on. So that's the point he's making here. But then he answered.
He answered them.
The man's life has been changed. And he said, "Now
he that made me whole."
The man said, "The one that made him whole."
The same said unto me.
That's the one who said to me,
"Take up thy bed and walk."
That's the guy who he just told me what to do. That man had been in his situation 38 years, and here come a man who told him to get up and walk. And all of us, and I talked about how last week, all of us got situations that we've been into. But at some point, you got to listen to God, amen, and get up and walk. You got to make an effort to save yourself. No one going to save you for you. No one can get your situation corrected for you. You got to make a decision to step out on faith and walk on at the words of Jesus. Even today, we're talking about you stepping out on the words of Jesus so that life can change for you. Many of you are in your situation because you won't move. You won't make a move to let God help you. You're going to stay depressed, suppressed, and oppressed in your wife, in your situation, your marriage, your home, your life, your youth activity, your young adult play. You stagnated until you get God in your life. You are living a meaningless life. You know, and more tragically, and when you got people in their senior years of life who are not obedient to God, and you are 70, maybe going into 70, God said, "I might give you 80, and you haven't got it right yet. That's tragic. When God give you golden years, my brother, sister, you ought to be living according to the words of God. You ought to step out today. You ain't too old to get baptized. People who have not been born again of the water spirit, you and your 67 years old, what are you waiting on?" That's my question. What are you waiting on? You ought to hear the wagon train coming. Amen. All of us, you can hear them. I'm 57 now. I can hear it a little louder myself. Amen. That old death wagon, it's coming, man. It's just going to stop at your house. One day it's coming. You might as well get ready. All of us, this man made a move. He'd been there 38 years. And I talked about last week. How long are you going to be where you are before you make a move? Now, when he made a move, he knew Jesus said, do it, and so he done it. Verse 12, he
said. Then
they asked him,
what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?
They wanted to know, who is this guy telling you what to do on Sabbath day? Then he said what?
And he that was healed wist not
who
he was.
The man said, I don't know who he was.
Jesus had conveyed himself away.
Jesus moved on. Jesus did what he did and moved on to someone else.
And multitude being in that place.
He'd been standing and knocking at your door. But you won't open. But it's going to be a day when you're going to move on. This man answered the knock. And brother, I'm saying to all of us, none of us are in this perfect condition where we can go to heaven without doing what God tells us to do. And I'm saying, why are you here at this church building this morning? Is it because you already ready? Is it because you know you're going? Are you so sure that you're going that you can't hear Jesus standing at your door and knock, say, if you open, I'll come in. You know, he wants to help many of us with our situation. But the reason you can't get no better, the reason you're still depressed and you're going downhill and going being like that old lady in a rocking chair making a lot of motion, ain't going nowhere in your life, because you won't open the door. Yeah. Some point you got to open the door and let him in. But Jesus did. When he come in, he'll make a difference. He made a difference in this man's life and moved on to someone. And because Jesus can make a difference. So many homes are torn up because they won't let the Lord in. Yeah, many of you are so messed up in your head. Your mind is messed up because you won't let the Lord in your life. Man, many of us live more peaceful lives if we had Jesus in our lives. Now, you say, brother, but what are you saying? I'm saying it's up to us. This man needed the Lord. And I believe somebody here this morning need the Lord. I know you need the Lord. I know I need the Lord. But you got to move. You got to say, now he's telling me. He went on, and Jesus is going to be there for you. If you open the door, he'll come in and make a difference. Who came this morning, honestly, so the Lord can make a difference in your life? I mean, say amen if you can. How many of y'all believe Jesus can make a difference? This man believed the Lord can make a difference. He made a difference in that man's life. Don't get to the point you give up on God. Yeah. The man... After verse 14, after Jesus finds the man.
Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the
then
temple.
Then he worshiped. The man said unto him. Once Jesus made life, man, worship service shouldn't be a problem for you. I mean, when you know the Lord gave you another chance to get off them drugs, to get your life together, you didn't die in that car wreck that you was in. You didn't get killed when you got shot. You went to prison and made it back. You know some of your homeboys, some of your classmates done died and gone on. They was out in them streets. You were doing the same thing they were doing. Now you made it. You here? You safe? Amen. You was hung up on alcohol. You got off of it. You was on drugs. You made it through. You might have went through a 12-step program, but there was one program for God. The one step was in the baptism. And that one step in baptism made a difference in your life, because you're a different man. You're a different woman. You're a different husband. You're a different wife. You're a different child to your mama when God makes a difference in your life. And when God makes a difference, worship is not a problem. Now, let me just say this. Both worship services is not a problem. When you give God credit for you being saved, for you being saved, for you being alive, for you having a second chance because you didn't die on that operating table, worship is not an issue. Praise the mighty name of Jesus, brother. Preach. That's good. Giving is not an issue. Man, when the plate come around, give it. Man, I give God. I'm going to give. I mean, you said, brother, how much I should give? Give it to us grudgingly. And you feel like it's a necessity. I got to give it. We keep it. Because God don't need a penny. He don't need no money. He want to know, do you know who gave you life? Do you know who can take your life? Do you know who gave you breath to breathe? Do you know who gives you water? Can you outgive me? See, you can't outgive God. God said, I love a cheerful giver because the greatest gift I gave was my son. And you can't never outgive me, but you can show you love me when you give cheerfully. And when you give cheerfully, you don't buy all up a dollar of popcorn in the plate. That's not a cheerful giver. That's a stingy individual. You give. So I said, well, I give 10%. You give until it hurts. You put him first. You make him first on top of the list of things you must do in your bills. Put God first in everything. Not the house, not the car. You don't put the car no before God. You put the what you're gonna put in the plate before the car no. You put before everything. You put God first and balance everything below that. That's what you do. Yeah. Somebody said, well, should we give 10%? You're not an Old Testament. Are you killing any goats? We don't get no percentage. It's about a heart. You give up here because you love, and I tell you what, when you love God 10%, you'll blow through 10% quick. When you love God, you'll blow through 10%. And I'm going to test you on this. Try me on this one. Try giving, right? Try giving and see what God bless your life. Man, I done seen it over and over. I'm not preaching prosperity either. I'm just saying God is a good God. Amen. When you don't know a way, God will make a way. Yeah, but don't be stingy. God said, go get that job, put that job for me. It'd be like you putting money in a hole in your pocket. I'll blow on it. It won't mean nothing. God said, you won't prosper. You make more money. It's just going into the hole in your pocket and coming out. Amen. Getting down to my point, I didn't want to make something right there. I thought I'd stop there a little bit. Is that all right, Brother White? Okay, thank you. Let's go on. I was talking about worship that time. Now let's move on. This man, his life has changed. He's in worship. He's at the temple. What happened?
Behold, thou art made whole.
Yeah. Jesus walked up to him. He said, I see you're okay now. You've been made whole, yeah. Then what happened?
Sin no more.
He said, now go on and don't go back over there and start back to sin. Amen.
Least or worst thing come unto thee.
The worst thing I can think of to happen to a sinner is they can die in their sin. John 8:21, Jesus said, I go my way, you shall seek me, shall die in your sin. Why? And the worst thing any of us could be to die in our sins.
That's true.
Read on.
The man departed and told the Jews.
So the man leaves and he told the Jews.
Which had made him whole.
Oh, I know who it was now. Now, this is the second look. This time, that's the guy, Jesus. He's the one that made me whole. So he got it. He know who it is now. Now, verse number 16.
And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus.
The Jews persecuted or pursued Jesus in his text.
And sought to slay him.
And sought to kill him.
Because he had done these things on the Sabbath.
Because of what he done on the Sabbath. Now, the man, the Jews are going to pursue to kill him. But Jesus answered him.
My Father worketh hitherto.
Now he's saying,
and I work.
The Father's working at the same time I'm working. See, God rested on the seventh day, yes. But right now, God is working through Jesus through miracles. Amen. He's doing, if Jesus done it, God done it. One. His Father works on the Sabbath. He's saying, y'all talking about me, God, my Father working too. So y'all really really upset now because I just told you, not only am I doing it on the Sabbath, God was God of the Sabbath. He was Lord of the Sabbath. How men ain't going to tell God what to do on the Sabbath day? Amen. Read on.
Therefore, the Jews sought the
to kill him. Now, they're trying to kill him. Now, here's why. Because
he had not only had broken the Sabbath.
Two things he done wrong. Not only they're upset because he broke the Sabbath, but also.
But said also that God was his Father.
Now he going to claim God as his Father?
Notice making himself
these
equal
Jews
with
are
God.
Upset. This is blasphemous to them. No, God now, he said, when he claimed God was doing the same thing he was doing at the same time, God was working on the Sabbath like he was, he said, he made himself equal
with God.
There's a problem. That's the problem. They say, oh, you saying you're equal to God. Now, remember, no other man walked on earth before with a claim to be equal to God. So we would probably be saying the same thing, like, I don't know who this dude is here talking about. He God. Who is this cat, you know? You know, that's in the 4-4 language. Who is this guy? So watch these Jews. But Jesus said,
verily, verily, I say unto you.
See, he's listening. He said, now let me teach the truth. I say to you.
The Son can
do nothing
of himself.
Now watch how many times he says, the Son.
Can do nothing of himself.
The Son.
Can do nothing of himself.
The Son can do nothing of himself.
But what he seeth the Father do.
What he seeth the Father. Notice the point. The Son, the Father. Do what things soever he doeth.
These also do the Son likewise.
Likewise.
For the Father loveth the Son.
Loveth the Son.
And show him all things that himself doeth.
And will show him greater works than these.
That
you're going to be even more surprised at the other things that are going to happen. Jesus wasn't finished. He got a whole lot of stuff he getting ready to do in front of these Jews. He said, y'all going to marvel at it. Now, as the Father raises up the dead.
He went, now he's stepping out there.
Just like God, the Father raised the dead.
And give them life.
Even so, the Son got the same power as the Father. Now, if Jesus said that, we must believe it. The man is saying today that Jesus is not God. Then don't believe that. The Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. Amen. You don't have to be a scientist. Just stay with what he said. He just told you. For the Father judges no man. Now, this is where we get in trouble at. But had committed all judgment to the Son. God the Father had committed all judgment to the Son. Now, this is a little bit of me here you're getting ready to get. So get ready for this. So the Father had committed all judgment to who?
The Son.
Oh, that's important. The judgment has been committed or given to the Son. Now, Jesus is boldly stating before these guys, they wanted to kill him. He got even bold. Y'all want to kill me because I've done something? I'm just like my Father. I got the power he got. As a matter of fact, let me drop this one on you. I'm going to judge you. These guys, you got to think about them Jews. Not only has he done something on the Sabbath that they didn't know what he could do. Not only is he claiming to be God. He said, hey, I'm going to be your judge, dude. Is that good? Jesus, he's the master teacher here. The master teacher finna get to the head. But more than their head, you better let him get to your head. I'm coming back to you. I'm not finished. I'm just on the Jews right now. But I got to apply it to us. Amen. This is a shocking statement to these Jewish people. Jesus, not only say, am I the Son of God, but I'm the judge. America and the world need to know that Jesus is the judge. There are men and women all over America and the world, preaching in pulpits, even in the church, they have left the doctrine of the teaching of the Son. And I'm saying, get John 12:48. We got churches on every corner with a different name, teaching different things, holding the same book I got. But they forgot. Maybe they don't know that Jesus said in John 12:38, he said, he that rejected me and received not my words, has one that judges him. Watch what the judgment is now.
The word that I have spoken.
Everything he said, do you better have done it before you die. Let me see it on this side. He that rejected me, received not my word, had one that judges him, the word that I have spoken.
The same shall judge him in the last day.
Will judge you.
In the last day.
Here it is, friend. Jesus says, I go my way, you seek me, die your sins. Where I am, you can't come. Now, you better believe that because, you know, you go to some of these denominational funerals. Well, I shouldn't say just denomination either. Even in the church of Christ, we want to turn funerals into a festivity. A festival, a home-going celebration. You don't know where that person is at. Every one of them. And I grew up in the Baptist faith. Good people, wonderful people. Matter of fact, I don't want you to talk about my Baptist relatives, but I can, but you can't. Every funeral was a homegoing celebration. You could die drunk as long as you accept Jesus at an early age. In your obituary, grew up in Hempiltech, grew up there, and he accepted Jesus at an early age. The rascal didn't go to church, didn't do nothing. But because he accepted Jesus at an early age, and they say his address just changed from earth to heaven. He's on Gold Street. Is that right? That what they say? He walking on the Gold Street. Lying, preacher lying. Didn't he tell you to call him reverend? When the Bible's a holy and reverend lie, did he lying? He tell you, she got the camera on. He lying. And they told him not to. Is that videotape? FaceTime. And the reverend lying. He don't see nobody in heaven. And if he believed the Bible, if he believed the words of Jesus, to the Catholic priest, if he believed the words of Jesus, he would believe Matthew 23, 7 through 9. He said, call no man father. That's your judge, Pope. That was the words of Jesus. If the Pope respected the Son, he would say, call no man father. I told y'all the world needs to understand who has authority. It is the Jesus, the Christ, the Son, and the Church of Christ need to remember when we leave the doctrine of Christ with all this emotionalism and progressivism and liberalism and millennialism stuff that's moving us in a different direction other than the doctrine of Christ, we are in trouble. But it won't come in Hollow Heights. Not under my watch, anyway. Let's go back. I'm not finished with that. I'm just working on. I was working on the denominational world as well as us, leaving the truth. What's going to reject us? I'm just saying, there are some things that we got to understand. And Jesus said, the word I spoke, the same with you in the last day. Now, when one rejects the commands of Jesus, he or she, amen, is judged, and Jesus said, if any man hear my words and doeth them, I would liken to him as a wise man. If any man hear my word and doeth them not, I would liken to him as a foolish. So what's the point of reference, Brother Brooks? The main point is that the authority, when Jesus got up from the grave, all power had been given to him. And every word he said should be obeyed by a man and woman who wanted to go to heaven. For example, in Mark 16:15, it says, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is
baptized.
Now, he don't say he that believe it and believe only. He said he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Then next verse, he said,
he that believeth not. Shall be damned.
So if you don't believe that baptism saved, you're going to be damned. That's you judged already. You don't got to ask, am I going to heaven? No. You say, well, we got water here. If you believe the words of Jesus, then you do it. Amen. More examples. Let's go back over to the text. I got some more examples. I want to go back to get to those later on. But now watch this part, verse 22.
For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
Y'all got that part? All right, read.
That all men should honor the Son.
The purpose of it is God said, you're going to honor my Son. Remember, and notice what he said.
As they honor the Father.
I want you to honor my Son just like you honor me.
Honoreth not the Son.
If you can't honor the Son.
Honoreth not the Father.
You can't honor the Father.
Which has sent him.
Because I'm the one sent it. Read.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation.
But is
passed from death unto life.
There it is. Here's the thing. The person who have an everlasting life, the conditions of eternal life will be, number one, you got to know the Son.
Amen.
Amen. You got to know him. You got to know him. You got to believe it.
Amen.
In a Jesus who hung in Jerusalem on a cross. But you didn't see it. Then you must obey the one who you believe died on a cross that you didn't see die in Jerusalem. And you got to do what he say. Stepping in the water, for example, believing that Christ, I'm going to be buried with Christ, believing that I'm going to be washed in his blood. In order to have everlasting life, you must believe the Son. Amen. Now, why God the Father had committed all judgment to the Son? Listen to Jesus boldly drive it home. Verse 25.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Read.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
And
hath given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man.
You don't have to be a Greek scholar to get the point. You know, you don't have to be. You don't have all that education. You just got to believe what you read. Amen. Now, who has authority? The Son. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. He's going to execute what?
Judgment.
I mean, he's going to carry it out. Because?
He is the Son of Man.
That's it. So you don't have to call no Greek scholar. Why? Because he is the Son of who?
Son of Man.
That's the key word I want you to. Now, listen to this.
Marvel now.
No.
This.
I want to stay with that.
Okay.
Because he is the Son of Man. Let me give you this one now. Get John 1:12. Y'all listen carefully.
But as many.
Let me get them there. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of who?
Man.
Man. Now remember the sermon I preached about the only begotten? Before Jesus came from heaven, he was God.
Correct.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He wasn't the Son of God. He was never referred to then. He was referred to in God as the Godhead, the three of one God.
Correct. That's correct.
Now, when he came down, after he came down from heaven, he had to come through this miraculous birth through a virgin woman. There was a miraculous birth, and when he came through her, he came through a virgin, and now the only begotten Son, the first baby or child of God. I missed it. The first, he was born a virgin mother of a woman. God had never before Mary had a son. Now, when he had the son, John 1:12 says, But as many as received him to give him power to become
the sons of God.
He gave everybody who received the son can become sons of God. Now, there were no Christians in the Old Testament. So those who became sons of God came because of the Son. And without the Son, there would be no sons of God, children of God. Children, John said, the love he showed up that we all be called the children of God. Amen. In the New Testament, where they call the children of God. In the Old Testament, they call the children of Israel. Stay with me now, because I'm working on Son of Man. Which were born not of the blood, see, nor of the will of flesh. So Joseph and Mary didn't come together to get this Jesus. And then he said, nor of the will of man.
But this was God's
plan to redeem man. Notice what he said. And the word was made flesh. He was the Word. Remember, that's why since he is the Word, anybody who reject the Word rejected God. Anyone who reject the Word reject God. That's why he's judged. Because if you rejected my word, you rejected God. And he was made. The word was made.
And the word was made. Okay, there you go. There dwelt among us.
So when was he made flesh? When he was born through
Mary.
Now, and dwelt among us, and then they said, we beheld the glory.
And we beheld his glory.
As
what?
The
glory as of the only begotten.
That's when the world
Father.
Recognized this is the only begotten.
Of the Father.
The one of a kind. No other one like him.
Full of grace.
Who he belonged to, the Father.
And truth. Full of the
Never before did God the Father have a son in the flesh. Now, after being made flesh, he is now both God and man. Get Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2:9. He both God and man. So he's referred to himself as the Son of Man. And here's why. Here's why. Hebrews, what I got to call it?
2:9?
Yeah, that 2:9 was it.
But we see Jesus.
Now, watch this. He said, we see Jesus.
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
Oh, so the angels are here. Jesus is below them.
For the suffering
of
death.
Angels don't die the physical death. So he had to bring him below the angels.
For the suffering of death.
So he could suffer. That's why cross preaching is so critical. Because the people got to know that he suffered. But he had to come. He was just like we are, yet without sin. He could feel the pain of the cross. He could feel the whipping of the whip. He could taste, he would have to taste something that he had never tasted. He had never been in that position before. When he was in heaven, he was not in a position that he was lower than angels. That he suffered the...
Of death.
Of death.
Crowned with glory and honor.
That's him.
That he may, by grace of God, should taste death.
For who?
For every man.
There it is. That's why he's the Son of Man. See, he had to feel what a man would feel. And when he tasted it, oh, man. I just wish somebody knew I was talking some good stuff this morning. Tim, how would you get that? Tim? See, he had, y'all, when you love God, when you really you get down to worship, it's about God. Why would you let your son go through so much pain for me? God said, that's the love God had. Greater love. Because he had to taste what death would be like for every man. So that cross preaching is critical for the people. If you think you're going through something, you know what Jesus went through for you? He was the Son of Man. Oh, man, so much good stuff here. Y'all remember when Peter went to coast of Caesarea Philippi? Go to Matthew 16:13. Oh, man, time is fun. Oh, man, I'm going to do this.
When Jesus
came to the coast.
Came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked
when
his
Jesus
disciples,
came,
saying,
so here comes Jesus in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying,
whom do men say that
said,
I,
who,
the Son
now,
of Man, am?
Now, who he said, who?
Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
There he said it again, didn't he? He said, Son of Man. Who they say I am?
And they said,
see, now remember, these guys don't believe God is walking on earth. They don't understand it. So he's saying, who do these people say I'm the Son of Man is? Read.
And they said.
They said.
Some say that thou art
now,
John
some
Baptist.
Say, there's something different about him. They say, man, maybe he's John the Baptist. Some say.
Elias.
Some say.
Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Some of them say, you Jeremiah. There's something good about you. But then he says what?
But saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
So Peter, I want to know who you say I am.
And Simon Peter,
Peter
said,
I'm going to tell you who you are.
Thou art the Christ.
Now watch what he said this time. Now, Son of Man.
The
Son of the
living God.
Then he said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that.
Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee.
Who did it?
But my Father, which is in heaven.
That is. Who did it?
My
the
Father.
The Father revealed to Peter that this Son of Man is the Son of God. Now, look at this. Now, Peter says it, and then Paul nails it in Philippians 2. Watch this. Philippians 2:5. He said, let this mind
be in you,
which
was
also
in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but
see,
made himself
Paul,
of no
Paul
reputation.
Going right back to what the Jews said. He said he was equal to God. He said, look here, Paul said this. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
but made himself of no reputation.
He could have stayed heavenly. He didn't have to come down below the angels. That was his. He was doing his Father's will. Notice what he said now.
And made himself of no
reputation. He made himself of no reputation.
And took upon him
the form of a servant.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man.
He was made in the likeness of men. Being
he humbled himself.
Now here he comes. He humbled himself. He had to go low enough.
He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross.
There it is. He had to taste death, but the type of death he lowered to was the most humiliating form of death. It was crucifixion, execution by crucifixion. Then Paul said, "Who said?
Wherefore God,
since he did that,
also hath given
God highly exalted him
and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
Yeah.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father."
Everybody's going to make that confession that he's Lord. Amen. Not only are they going to say he's the Son of God, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, Romans 14, 11, every knee bow. So the point I'm making it here is this. You're going to make the confession. You can decide to make it before you die, or you're going to make it a judgment. Everybody's going to make that. You're going to make that confession. Let me just drop this on. So, because the greatest shock is going to be to so-called believers. If I had time to finish this, we would, but I won't. I'm going to stop right here because here's the thing about it. Here's the thing. When we get the fact that God loved me to the point that he would send his only begotten to become the Son of Man. Get 1 Corinthians 15, 45 for me. That he had to do this because in the beginning, he created Adam and Eve. You had the first Adam, he brought us, and now we all have to taste death because of Adam and Eve, transgression. All men then would taste death. So Jesus had to come down and taste death too. So now he's down tasting death so he could bring us back into the image of God. So Adam was in the image of God because God breathed into him. He became a living soul. He was spiritual. And then once he sinned, he seen the physical and became naked. Too much to give you. But then he sends another Adam, the Son of Man. Watch verse 45. Get verse 45.
So it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
Was made a living soul. Read.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Read.
Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural.
Okay, read on.
And afterwards that which is spiritual.
Read on.
The first man is of the earth.
So he made Adam earthly. From the dust of the earth. Y'all got that part? Read.
Earthly. The second man is the Lord. It's from the Lord.
Who?
From heaven.
The second man, the
is
second
the
Adam,
Lord.
Is from heaven, and he's from the
Father.
Yeah, that's Jesus. So we left the image of God, and God. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter or see the kingdom of heaven. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, amen, should. Should or shall?
Should.
Well, why America say shall? Because that's a misquote to preach believe only. One word. You should not perish if you see what God done for you in giving his Son. He gave his Son. His Son came, lived among men, came down from heaven's glory. He came to give us, to bring us back into the image of God. And the one must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. So God so loved the world that he gave him. He came. How many of y'all know he came? Y'all believe he came? Amen. And today he lives. He lives as our Savior. Amen. They took him in the last hours of his life.
Amen. He was getting ready to taste death. He was in the flesh in the garden where he cried supplication and strong crying in the garden. He had to do the will of God. He said, not my will, but your will be done. He done God's will. He made a decision. And though he was a son, he learned obedience. He had to do the will of God. And until you learn to do the will of God, you're not going to be saved. And he left that garden. They kissed him with the death kiss. Judas did. They tried him. They whipped him. They mocked him. He's tasting death. He's feeling pain. He's tasting it now. He's getting ready to know what it is. He know, knowing all things, he know he's going to take the whipping. He know the pain is coming. He's going to carry the cross up the hill of Calvary. He's going to get on Calvary. They're going to execute him. Nails in his hands. Nails in his feet. And he, the Son of Man, would hang on that cross because he got to die. And he got to die. He got to do what no angel has done. He got to die. He's going to hang there. But who is he dying for? He's dying for me. He's dying for you, my friend. He's dying for you, my mother and your mother, my children, your children. He's on the cross. Can y'all see him? He's bleeding blood. That's why he had to be in the flesh. He had to bleed blood. And without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. He's on the cross. He's shedding blood. He's getting ready to taste death. When he died on the cross, he says, finished. They buried him. But God the Father loosed him. He could have got himself up. But because he was the Son of Man, the Bible said in Acts 2 on our time that his flesh would not see corruption. And the Bible said that God loosed the pains of death. For God got him up. That's why the thief can't be saved like me. Because the thief can't make this confession. That Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:13-14, 10:9-10. Ain't no thief can make that confession because he had not died at that time. We make that confession. We know this. That God raised him from the dead. But why did God get him up? He got him up and he gave him in Matthew 28:18. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He has all power because he got up, because he lives. I'm somebody. If I hear his words and I obey him, I can be a better man. If I hear his words and I obey him, I can be a better woman. I can be a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better child to my mama. Amen, somebody. If I just believe his words, if I just believe what he told me, if I just believe it, what I got to do? Believe it. How many of y'all believe Jesus can make a difference in your life? I believe he can make a difference in life. I want to know this morning. Who came today? Because your situation is such that you know from the beginning of this sermon, when I did the knock, that was you. Because all you went through last week and everything you've been going through, you're almost suicidal. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. Your head is messed up. You cry on the inside, and nobody know on the outside. But inside, you're a very unhappy wife. Inside, you're a very unhappy man. You're a very unhappy husband. You're a very unhappy young adult. And you know that the track you on, young man, is going to end you up in prison, or it's going to end you up dead. You know this, man. Young lady, you know. If you don't make some changes, you know that young boy that you sleeping with going to get you pregnant and it's going to mess your life up. And then you're going to want to do an abortion. You know that you got to stop. You ain't here because you don't know. We here because all of us know. Don't we all know? Yes, we know. Every one of us know what our issue is. I don't come in this room every Sunday with no issue. I come here every Sunday with an issue. And I admit it. Can you? The first step to getting God is being baptized into Christ. Amen. Believe baptism gonna save you. Believe you have a relationship with him. And then do what God told you to do so your life can be different. How many of y'all done made a difference in your life? How many of y'all done let the Lord make a difference in your life? It made a difference in life. But you know what? I don't know. Things are just so tough sometimes. You don't know which way it's coming, man. Curveballs are coming. Tragedy is coming. Trauma is coming. Sicknesses are coming. Diseases are coming. Man, I don't know what's going to happen next. Do we? We don't know what's going to happen, man. Things can be going good, and then all of a sudden, the wheel fall off the wagon. It's like, man, what I do wrong? Lord, why me? I mean, y'all have storms. We're going through a storm. You've gone through a storm, and you know you went through a storm, and you see yourself today. You sitting here, Brother Brooks, and preaching at you. I'm in your room. I'm in your house. I'm up in your life. And I'm talking to the young folk. Some of y'all going to die young. All of you ain't going to make 60. I just stepped into the young adult's life. You playing that Russian roulette game. Man, tighten that thing up. Give God the first look. Take the first look. Let God be your first look. I'm telling you, people who are thinking about getting married, you put God first, not that man, not that woman. Get him right. Get God in your life. Obey the gospel today. Start right, you'll end up right. Amen. Start right. Right down the street here, you're a teenager. Last week was shot and killed. I look at these little kids, about drive their mamas crazy. They think they're going to live forever. One drive-by shooting. One drive-by, buddy. And you ain't so bad no more. You don't see no dead man talking noise to his mama. You do you? Do you? No, but God can shut you down. Amen, he can shut you down. What am I saying today? God has given us chances. He's given all of us chances. He's given me chance after chance after chance. He's given you chance after chance after chance. How many haven't had chances? He's given us chances. He's going to judge us. He's saying if you don't get baptized, you're going to be lost. If you're not in the true church, you're going to be lost. If you don't take communion every Sunday, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. But this is a chance. And you know why we got a chance? Because when they buried him in the tomb, early Sunday morning, he rose with power. Amen. I like that, baby. He rose up with power to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can deal with what's coming. Because he lives, I can be a better man. Because he lives, I can be somebody. I am somebody. I am a child of God. Oh, what love God bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's only because of the Son. Amen. That's a good preaching. Here's what I want to do. Everybody who need prayer, and you've been going through some things, I want you to answer the knock this morning. The person who need prayer. I want the person who needed to confess 2 weeks ago, three weeks in a row, you missed it. You didn't do it. I want you to come down and make your confession. Don't worry about the people. Just come down and say, you know, I asked this church pray for me. Or ask right where you are if you want to. But you need to make your confession. And then the third part, I want the people who are not members of the Church of Christ. You may have been baptized into the Baptist Church, but that ain't in the Word. Jesus never mentioned Baptist. You're going to get judged on that one. I want you to come down. We're going to ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? You're going to say, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, Acts 8:37. And then we're going to baptize you as commanded by Jesus. And when you get baptized, we're going to baptize you in that water. You'll step in there. You ain't going to see no blood. You're going to believe Christ's blood in there, and it's going to wash every sin away. And then the Lord going to give you the Holy Spirit and add you to the true church, the Church of Christ. Amen. So who I want to come? Those who need prayer. Those who need confession. Those who want to get baptized. And you know why we can all still walk? Huh? You know why we can all still walk? Because he lives. Because he lives. Because he's out. So here's what I want to do. When we stand up, don't let the devil lock your knee up. He been locking it for all them years. Unlock that knee and just walk. That's what you're doing. I got a bad back. I gotta be careful how I jerk. But here's the thing. If you knew that Brother Brooks was talking to you, and if you knew this was going to be your last chance to walk, ask yourself before you stand up, would I walk? If the answer is yes, then the devil wins and you lose if you don't walk. So, well, I'm asking folk to walk. And we all can walk because he live. Y'all ready? When you stand up, walk because we live. Come on.